Well, hi everybody. Good to see you. Thanks for joining me. And hope you're still surviving in these different days. But, of course, enjoying this beautiful weather and at the same time. And, people keep commenting, I look a bit like a panda. That's because I don't think about it, and I'm just out there enjoying the sunshine, enjoying my exercise, I have to say. But in that process, I do catch the sun a bit. So apologies if it's sending your screen a bit weird. Anyway, during this whole time, I don't know whether you've noticed, but others have noted that in the last months since the pandemic broke here in the UK, there's been a change in vocabulary, and some new words and phrases have been entering into our everyday language. And I'm sure we've all noticed them, and we've even used them and starting to use them ourselves, which is understandable. But it's things like this, words like coronavirus, the word itself, that was an unknown. It certainly was to me before this. But other words like unprecedented, which in the first few weeks was used a lot. Contact spreading, sounds a form of farming really, doesn't it? Contact tracing, that's another phrase, a new one actually, in connection with today and what the government are starting to do. But other familiar ones like isolation, self-quarantine, social distancing, lockdown, and lots more. And yet, those words come alongside a number of slogans and phrases that the government and medical advisors have actually put out as well. And every time they do their update every day, you see it on the front of their lectern. This has all helped to remind us of the new rules that are in place. Phrases such as stay safe, stay at home, save lives, save the NHS, stay alert in more recent times. Of course, wash your hands, work from home, and another one, unless absolutely necessary. What, live? Absolutely necessary. And even more recently, control the virus. Now, I understand fully and see the need for all these words and these phrases. We do need reminding, don't we? How to abide by the guidelines and reduce the spread of the virus. And I think it must be working, because they obviously are starting to consider lifting that lockdown. In fact, even this last few weeks, it's starting to change. And although certain, of course, government officials don't seem to abide by these, I'm not going to go any further. That's a bit of a hot potato, isn't it? But that aside, this is all part of a strategy to help reduce that spread of the virus, and to help the country, of course, get back into some sense of normality and all that goes alongside of that. So I would just want to encourage you, because I'm mentioning these things, and I'm going to sort of talk against them, in one sense they are important, so please do follow them and keep following them. Let's do our part, it's really important. But you know, it struck me that when you consider many of these phrases and these words, they are all about doing the opposite, I feel, of what naturally is human. So isolating and distancing and locking down are all fairly negative in their emphasis about what is natural human interaction. And understandable in the circumstances and important, as I said. But it's made me think about how God sees these things, and how God's kingdom and the church functions and his way of life. Because these slogans, these phrases seem to conflict with, I believe, how God has made us and what God wants. Now, let's face it. The one thing we're all missing as church at the moment, and we'd all like to do, and we're looking forward to it at some point, of course, in the future, is coming out of isolation. In other words, coming beyond our doors, not just for exercise, but to come together, to meet one another. Not to be at a distance, but being able to mix and to have a chat and a hug and to do things together, activities together, eat together, all those sorts of things. And I don't know about you, but that's one of the key aspects of church I really do miss. And I'm sure there's many of us are the same. And I think that's what church is about. We're a community. God has put life in us and that connects us. And whether that's just here within the town of Swanage or whether it's even further afield, we are community. We're a big family. And we need to meet. And that's just what we want to do. And these sorts of things, that which I'm doing at this very moment, the online or Zoom or similar sort of connections for church, they serve a purpose and they're really important. But we're physically, we are still restricted and we can't do what we would really like to do at the moment. And as I said, really important at the moment. So let's keep abiding by these things. But spiritually speaking, I think things have changed. Because when we're talking about our relationship with God, I think we want to be doing the opposite to what we're actually being told to do physically and humanly. In fact, I think we've now got more time and freedom due to the lockdown. You know, life has changed, hasn't it? The patterns of life have changed. I know it's not the same for everybody, but it does give us a little bit more freedom to perhaps come closer to God than perhaps we've been able to do for years, because our lives pick up a pattern and we get into the flow of activity. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 to 16 has some incredibly encouraging and releasing words for us while we're still physically restricted and locked down. Listen to these. I read these this morning and it just, oh, yes. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. They're just great words. But, you know, we're fast approaching Pentecost Sunday, this coming weekend, in fact. And we thought last weekend about the ascension Jesus leaving the earth in his physical human body, even though it was a resurrected body. And so, in one sense, these verses highlight the bridge or the pathway that Christ built for us through what he did for us on the cross and through, of course, his resurrection and his ascension. He opened up a way of access to God that actually was not there previously. This was a new one. And of course, the coming of the Spirit brought it into being because the Spirit now lives in us. So we can now, because of that, wherever we are and whenever it is, we can connect with God. Hallelujah. And that means that we can talk to him about anything at any time. We can share every detail of our lives with him, including where we are struggling or all the stresses and the concerns that we may have about even our current situations. As well as, of course, where we feel weak and we don't feel as though we're being adequate in who we are or whatever. Do you know, that is so welcoming. That is so encouraging for us. And it's all because, as it says in verse 15, Christ understands. He can empathise with us because he's gone before us. He's been there already and can relate to us and what we face. In more colloquial language, if I can say, he's got the mug and the t-shirt. He's been around. He came and lived on earth. He lived amongst us. And therefore, he understands human activity. He understands human weaknesses too. And so we can, in one sense, take a great deal of encouragement from the fact that this high priest, this one who is there for us, interceding for us, as it says in Romans, the one who connects us, understands where we're at and what's going on. And in that first verse, verse 14, it actually says, we're encouraged to hold firmly, to grasp tightly, to hold fast to the faith which we profess. That means we can hold on to the very centre of our faith. And who's the centre of our faith? But the person of Jesus himself. So in one sense, these verses are saying, come on, hold on to God, hold on to him tightly, almost give him a virtual hug, because that's what Christ has made it possible for us to do. That's the dynamic of our relationship with him. So whereas at the moment the world and the government are saying, stay in, isolate, distance yourselves for the very right reasons, God is saying to us, come on in, come close, get connected with me, come and be with me. I've made it possible. Be confident. Step in to that and along that pathway I've actually built and made possible. And I love that phrase in verse 16 where it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can come in confidence. We can enter into the very throne room of God, into his very presence because of Jesus. And we can do it boldly, as some versions actually record it. Confidence and boldness. So let me encourage you to do that. Let's approach God on his throne of grace and find our loving and our accepting God with his arms open wide and saying, come on, let me talk to me. Let's have a coffee together. Let's have a chat. Let's tell me what's on your heart and I'll share with you how much I love you and how important you are to me. And he's ready to receive us. He's ready to welcome us and to be with him. So we can come and we can enter into his very presence through his grace and through his mercy. Isn't that an encouraging message? Considering everything else is saying, stay away, keep your distance. You know, yes, humanly speaking, those things need to be obeyed at this time. But spiritually speaking, there is no better time, I feel, for us to get close, to come close, and to spend time with our God, the one who loves us, the one who cares for us. So that's all it was, just those sort of thoughts. Can I pray with you? Let's pray. You've got no choice in it, have you? So let's pray. Oh God, these are strange days, and we've recognised that in the last number of weeks. Life is so different to what it used to be. And Lord, for us as your people, as the church, we are struggling. We are finding this separation hard. Yet thank you, God, that even though physically and humanly we cannot meet, the one thing which you can do is know the connection which we have, firstly with you, but that then that connects us with each other. Thank you, Lord, that you've drawn us into to being your sons and your daughters. We're drawn into being part of your family. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd take hold of these words and that, Lord, we would just take that confidence. We come boldly into your very presence. That, Lord, you would lead us to come close and help us to see that your arms are open wide. You're welcoming us. And Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us these days, although we are separated and things are changing, may the heart of our relationship with you become stronger. May we get closer to you and just know the wonder of our Lord and our Saviour. So Lord, we give you these times and these days, and we pray, O God, that you'd be with us. So meet with each and every one of us now, and thank you for building that bridge and that pathway. Help us to walk it in closeness to you. We pray these things, Jesus, in your lovely and precious name. Amen. Okay, bless you. Thank you and for joining us. And I pray God will continue to lead us in the days and the weeks ahead. Bless you. Hopefully see you on Sunday.